Glad I'm saved. I can't think of nowhere else on a Sunday night I'd rather be than where I am right now. Not necessarily standing right here, but in this church. This place is a blessing. It's a nice crowd for Sunday night. I thank you for you coming out. I know the Lord's going to bless you for it. He's burned something in my heart now here for a while that I believe I'm supposed to share with you, so I'm just going to obey him. I know you're tired. I know you've had a long weekend. And I won't keep you no longer than the Holy Ghost will let me. I promise you that right now. So take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua, chapter number 4. Joshua, chapter number 4. As you find it, if you would, stand for the honor of the reading of the Word of God. Found in Joshua, chapter number 4. Begin with verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean, passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, God, I come to you once more, Lord. God, I need your touch tonight, Heavenly Father. Lord, I ask you, God, you just get me out of the way. And Lord, you just touch these old lips of clay, Heavenly Father. God, you'd guard my heart and my mind and my lips and my tongue, Lord. That God, you'd help me be a blessing to your people, God. That Lord, you'd help me to challenge hearts, Lord. That you'd help me, God, just to preach, thus saith the Lord, God. Just help me, Lord. God, I thank you for each one that came out tonight, Heavenly Father. God, I ask for your blessing on them, Lord. I ask you to touch them and their families. God, now just be with us just for a little while. Help us, dear Lord. And we'll be sure to give you the praise and the honor and glory for you're worthy. I say that all this in your sweet and precious name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. It is my prayer that I am a blessing to someone tonight. I don't know who or why, but God does. It ain't just per chance or by circumstances or fate that you're here tonight. Someone's here to hear a word from God, and someone's here to hear what's got to be said here tonight. But I want to challenge your heart also. I want to be a blessing, but I want to challenge your heart also in this day and hour in which we live. My thoughts in verse number 6, that this may be a sign among you. Mamas and daddies, grandpas and grandmas, listen to this part right here. When your children ask their fathers in time to come. And there's a time coming when they're going to ask. There's a time coming when they're going to know how and why and when and how and where. They're going to want to know why. They're going to ask. They're going to come and say, Mama, Daddy, Grandpa, Grandpa. If you're an elder of the church, they're going to come and say, Brother, Sister, how did you? Why did you? Where did you? And you better have an answer for them if you want them to stay in this Word of God. You better have a word for them if you want them to walk through these doors and continue to carry on the things that this Bible's taught us to. You better have a word for them to be able to tell them what happened to you back in that time. Because you see what happened back in the Old Testament. The old patriarchs, they'd come along, and as they traveled, see, they didn't stay in one place. They didn't live in a house. They lived in tents. And they traveled from one area to another, went from one place to the next. And as they traveled, they'd do one of three things. They'd either set up a memorial, they'd dig a well, or they'd build an altar. And they didn't do that just for themselves. They did that for the ones that were coming down the line. They did that for their children and their children's children and the ones that would come behind them and go the same ways and cross the path that they crossed. And right here they were just fixing to cross over the River Jordan, and they said, we're going to set up these stones for a memorial before the Lord forever, so that in times to come, when their children come up and said, Mama, Daddy, what mean these stones, that Mama and Daddy could carry them back and say, this is what God done. This ain't what we done. This ain't what the preacher done. This ain't what the church done. This is what God done. God had everything to do with it. We had nothing to do with it. But for the grace of God, we'd still be walking in circles out there in the desert. We'd still be lost and dying and on our way to a devil's hell. But for God, we wouldn't have nothing in our lives in this day and hour in which we live. And we, being the ones that we are, the parents and the grandparents and the elders of the church, we better start setting up some memorials. We better start digging some wells. You better start building some altars, because the time's coming, they're going to come, and they're going to ask, Brother Joe, what did you do when this happened? Daddy, what did you do when that happened? How did you get through that problem? What got you through that trial? And you better be able to tell them it was God. It wasn't nothing you did, because they'll start turning to the things of this old world. They'll start looking for any way out, anything that'll happen to come down the pike. They'll turn to it and not turn to God, and they're going to fall off the wayside somewhere. So you better make sure you're setting these things up for them. You better make sure there's been a place in time, because that's why you're here, because of a place in time. That's the title of my message this morning, A Place in Time. That's why we're all sitting where we're sitting right now tonight, because somewhere, a place in time, God met with you. God got with you. You fell on your face before God, cried out for forgiveness, and He forgave you. Or you're here for a purpose and a reason, not just by happenstance, as I've already said. But I'm telling you right now, we need to understand that that's what the patriarchs did. They did things for their children. They did things so their children could know how they got from one point to another, how they made it through their valleys, how they made it through their deserts, how they got from one point to another. It was all because of God. And what they did, they set these memorials up for them. I just want to say, I want to thank God there was a place in time for prayer. I'm so thankful for prayer tonight. I don't know what to do. I'm telling you right now, because I'm saved because somebody prayed for me. We need to understand a prayer is a cry to God. A prayer is when we get out and cry out to God. It ain't walking up and saying, okay, God, I'm here. I need you to hear what I got to say. We need to humble ourselves down. We need to get broken, bent, and humble before Almighty God. We need to shed tears again. We need to wear out the knees of our pants again. We need to hug the carpet again. Whatever you want to call it, we need to start getting back in touch with a holy God in this day and hour in which we live. And I thank God there was a place in time where somebody prayed for me. And I'm telling you, we need to get back to praying for our children. Boy, wasn't that a blessing seeing all them? They were sitting from one end of this thing to the other this morning, sitting up here, all them children. And I've been blessed enough to see some of them saved. I want to see all of them get saved. I want to see all of them on their way to heaven. And we need to be praying for these children, because the Word will eat them up. You let them get out there and get in the world will eat them up, chew them up, and spit them out. But I'm telling you, they need God in their lives. It's like the preacher said this morning, they can't bring themselves, they need to be brought. You need to bring them in the house of God. You not only do you need to bring them to the house of God, they need to have the house of God at home. They need to know that God, when they're at home, God's there too. The church house ain't the only place where God's at. He's at your house. He's in the car. He's in your yard. He's in your dish. Wherever you're at with your child, they need to know that God's there too. We need to know that God's always there, and I thank God that there was a place and time for prayer. We need to cry for our children. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Look over in the book of Job, chapter number 1. Job, chapter number 1. We need to cry for the children. Chapter 1, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. What do us all good right there? And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all men in the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day. and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offering according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed gods in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. In other words, he did this every day. He got up early in the morning and he prayed for his kids. He offered up sacrifices for his kids. We need to be up every time we even stop and think about our kids. We need to raise a hand toward God and say, thank you, God, for that wonderful blessing you gave me. I got to hold my youngest granddaughter this afternoon. 9 pounds I was sitting there holding her for the very first time I've seen her since she's been born. And I'm telling you what, that's the most precious thing next to the Bible I held in my hand today. Our children are precious, and we need to be praying for our children. We need to pray God will guard our children, watch over our children, bless us, and most of all, save our children. And we need to be praying it. We need to be praying for our children. We need to cry out for salvation. Because that's the only thing that's going to fix things, is you getting saved. Because like I said, you can turn to the things of this old world. You can go every which way, get with every ism, schism there is, every ideology, opera-ology, whatever you want to do. But it ain't none of it true, because my word, because it, if it's not out of this Word of God, it's a lie out of the gaping mouth of hell, and the devil would have you believe it tonight. So we need to cry for salvation. Our children need to be saved tonight. And I thank God somebody prayed for me. I thank God. I thank God every time a knee was bent for me. I thank God every time a tear was shed for me. I thank God every time my name was uttered in the throne room. I thank God for that. Because why? God, I'm here tonight. Because I'm like the pastor. I have the testimony of the prodigal. I got some scars on me that you wouldn't believe. And I'm not going to stand here and glorify sin by no means. But I got some scars on me. But I heard it said the other night that, you know, scars are a reminder and an indication of where we've been. They don't have to dictate where we go. They don't have to say, hey, you have to keep going down that road. And I was already a member of the family. I was already in the family. I was saved when I was 13 years old. 17 years old, turned my back on God, house, and His house and everything else, and left and got out there in the world. Well, you say, preacher, you wouldn't say, you don't know. I was saved. I saved on my way to heaven. I could pillow my head down at night no matter what I'd done that day, knowing if I died, I went to heaven. Did that make it right? No, sir. No, sir, it didn't make it right, because it troubled my heart. It made it heavy. It made me carry something that I didn't need to be carrying around. It put something on my back that I put there. My Savior didn't put it there. My actions put it there. My going the wrong way put it there. My worldly living and living in the hog trough is the one that did. I did it. I can't point the finger at nobody but Joe for that. But I had a praying mama. I had a praying daddy. I had a praying family. I had a praying church family. I had people that prayed for me and asked that God would put me back on the right path. Get me back in His house. Get me back in the house of God where I needed to be. God heard, honored, and answered those prayers. And I say, praise His holy name. Thanks be unto God for prayer. I'm glad somebody cried for me. I ain't too proud to stand up here and say I wish nobody shed a tear. I'm not too proud to stand up here and say I ain't never shed a tear. Well, we all have to replace the wood in these things every year. There ought to be wood soaked for this carpet. We shed so many tears on them. I thank God somebody cried for me. Not only a place and time for prayer, but there's also I'm thankful for a place and time of preaching. A place and time for preaching. You say, preacher, I wasn't called to preach. Well, you may not have been called to stand up here and preach. But I can guarantee you right now, if you've been saved by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your life, you have been called. The Bible says it's a holy calling. It's His calling. It's a heavenly calling. And I'm telling you right now, if you've been saved, you've been called. He told Legion to go and proclaim throughout all the world, all his country, what good things the Lord done for him. And that's what we need to be. We need to be up and about the Father's business. And that's what, and that's another thing we're lacking of. We don't have as much of that as we used to have. I thank God for the time, the place and time I can go back and remember the old saints of God that proclaimed how good God had been to them, what he'd done for them. I thank God for a man of God that stood behind the buckboard of God and preached to me the Word of God and saved my soul when I cried out to God. Why? Because there was someone that stayed true to the Word of God. Why? Because they proclaimed how good God was, that God loved me, that he sent his Son to die for me, that he rose on the third day for me. I had a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And if I didn't accept him, hell would be my home. But if I did, I'd have all the glories of heaven. I thank God somebody stayed true to the Word of God, told me about the Word of God, and now I can live forevermore. And I'm thankful that God put that man in my life and put people like that in my life that stay true to the Word of God. Because we don't need to be out there believing everything that comes down the pike. I'm telling you, we don't. I'm telling you, we need to be sticking with what works. We need to be sticking with what's true. And I love what I heard one time. It said, if it's new, it ain't true. And if it's true, it ain't new. And I'm telling you, that Bible's older than we even know. But it's been tried and proven and tested. And it'll last. It'll stand when this old world's a burning up. Why? Because there was a place in time for preaching. Somebody preached to you. You heard the Word of God one time or another, somewhere down, or somebody come up and testify. Somebody told you about God, and that's why you got saved. I believe that with all my heart. You know, and because you couldn't get to where God was, God had to come where you was. I love what she did this morning. Boy, it blessed my heart. Boy, she didn't. Yeah, couldn't utter a word. How about that? Simple childlike faith's all it takes. Place and time for proclaiming, staying true to the Word of God, speaking personally of the works of God. I thank God there was a place and time where I could hear the old saints of God stand up and testify. I love it when Brother Donald stands up. The longer he stands up, the more he gets wound up. I thank God for men like that in my life. I thank God for them. I call them the sirens. Them women that stand up and get to squealing. And the longer they squeal, the louder they get. And it's just like old car, it's like old police siren. The longer it goes, the louder it gets. That blesses my heart to hear people talk about how good God is and how good God's been to them. Not about how Aunt Sally's got a hangnail or about how somebody didn't come over and tell somebody something about their birthday. Not anything but how good God's been to them. Why? Because we're supposed to be building memorials about God and to God and for God. Not about us. It ain't about us. It ain't nothing we ever did, nothing we ever could do. It's all about God. And we need to understand it's Him, His Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's the Trinity. It ain't nothing to do with us. It ain't nothing to do with us. So we need to speak personally of the works of God. And speak often of the wonders of God. Our children are going to hear the things we say. You say, preacher, I wasn't called to preach. Your life's going to be the only sermon that some people ever hear. Your life's going to be the only Bible some people ever read. So don't you think you ain't been called. Don't you think that's just been put on the shoulders of a few. The teachers and the deacons and the priests. That's not the way this thing works, people. Everybody in the upper room stood up and spoke. Everybody stood up in the upper room. Didn't nobody sit there and watch everybody else do it. Everybody stood up and spoke on the day of Pentecost. And stand firm on the ways of God. I thank God for a place in time where somebody stood and told me that it's still the old rugged cross. It's still the blood of Jesus Christ. It's still repenting of your sins. It's still salvation. It's still baptism. It's still all these things that are in this Bible. I'm glad somebody stayed firm on the ways of God. I'm glad that we don't have a pastor that's tossed to and fro on the things, on the ways of this old world, on every wind of doctrine that comes down the pike. See, because that word wind, when it's used in the Bible, it's used for one of two reasons. It's either for like worship, when the Holy Ghost blows in and the wind comes in and worship breaks out. That's one way it's used. But it's also used in a way that King Solomon used it over there in the book of Ecclesiastes. King Solomon was the wisest, richest, most powerful king there ever was. You know, he when God come to him and asked him what he wanted, he said he wanted wisdom. He said he wanted wisdom. And through this wisdom, he acquired all these things, all these mass power, all these camels, wives, houses, riches. He was all these things, but he was coming down to the last days of his life. He was coming down to where the rubber meets the road, and he realized all these things he had gathered, all these worldly things he had, was nothing. He said it's vanity and vexation of the spirit. All he had done, all he had been doing all his life was chasing bubbles. Have you ever done that, going out with your grandkids, your kids, and took the little bubble thing and blowed the bubbles and reached out and grabbed it? And you open up your hand, what you got? A handful of nothing. Boy, a lot of people think they got this old world by the tail. They got the whirlwind by the tail, but when everything settles down, what do they got? Nothing. You better be standing on what's true. You better be standing on what's sure. You better be standing on what's eternal and stand on the firm ways of God. This is the rock on which I can stand. This is the rock in which I can hide. This is the rock that hides me. This is the rock on which my faith is built and on which this church is being built on. Is the rock in the firmness of this Holy Bible. Not only a place in time for prayer and a place in time for preaching, but thanks be unto God, a place and time of passing through. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm a firm believer that every born-again child of God's either just come out of, in the middle of, or fixing to go into a storm. And what you need to be able to do is you need to be able to look back at where that last one you just came through and realize and remember and realize what brought you through it. You need to be able to go back where you either built a memorial or you set up an altar or you dug a well or something, and you need to be able to go back to that. You need to be able to go back and remember what it was that brought you through, who it was that brought you through. That it wasn't anything that you did, that because what you're going to do is you're going to go back to this one, and what it's going to do is it's going to help you get through this one. And then when the next one comes along, you can go back and say, well, God helped me through this one, so now He's going to help me through that one. And now I'm coming up on another one, and God helped me through that one, so now He's going to help me through this one. I thank God for the places in times where He's brought me through some things. He's brought me through some things I couldn't do on my own. He's brought you through some things you couldn't do on your own. We need to thank God for the I can'ts in our lives. We need to thank God for the times we got down on our knees and said, God, I can't because He can. God, I don't because He does. God, I won't, but He will. We need to thank God for the I can'ts in our life. One of the sweetest I can'ts I ever heard in my life was my youngest child come to our house here about a couple, 3 years ago and said, Daddy, something's wrong. I don't know if I'm saved or not. And I thought she'd been saved a few years earlier at a revival. And she said, Dad, but I'm not sure anymore. I don't know. And so I started talking to her and I said, well, sweetheart, did you go up and pray? She said, well, I went up to the altar and the preacher come and asked me, did I want to be saved? And I told him, yeah. And he said a prayer over me and said, okay, sweetheart, everything's okay. I said, sweetheart, what did you say? She said, I didn't say anything. I said, that's not the way it works, sweetheart. I said, you have to confess. You have to tell God you're sorry. You have to confess your sins before a holy God. Can't no man pray you saved. Can't no man do that for you. And she knelt down right there, and the sweetest I can't was, I can't do this no more without you, God. I can't. I can't. And I thank God He came and He saved her that night. I went up and down the hall of the house shouting, glory to God. Thank you for saving my life. Why? Because I can't, but He can. I couldn't, but He could. Thank you, Lord, for the I can'ts. Thank you for bringing me through the things in my life that I couldn't handle on my own. Thank you for showing me that you're God and I'm nothing. Thank God for the I can'ts in my life. Oh, we need to thank Him for the I can'ts. Because God will bring you through your sea of troubles. He'll bring you through your valleys of trials. But one great and glorious day, He's going to bring you to a place of peace. We're going to pass through this old walks of life. In the Scriptures over there in verse number 3, it says, and command you them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place. That word lodging place means a place of rest or a place of refuge, but it also means a place of peace. They're fixing to cross the river. They're fixing to do something they couldn't do on their own. God's fixing to part the waters and let them cross over. Why? Because they said, we can't. But He could. And one great and glorious day, we're going to pass through this walks of life. We're going to cross this chilly river. Yes, sir. We're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's what the Bible says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to pass on through. I'm going to get through. I'm going to get to the other side. Why? Because He said we would. I'm going to go to that lodging place that we sung about earlier. I'm going to go to that lodging place where sin won't be. I'm going to go to that lodging place where there won't be nobody there but the saints of God and God Himself. There's going to be a clear running river of life, trees of life. There's going to be, it's just going to be so wonderful up there. We have no idea. We don't have a clue. John wrote as best he could in the book of Revelation to explain to us exactly what we have to look forward to. But he didn't scratch the surface. He did not scratch the surface, because the Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, nor the ear heard, and neither entered into the mind of man the things that the Lord has for them that love Him." It's going to be a wonderful day when we pass over. It's going to be a wonderful, glorious day at that time of passing through when we pass through. But till then, we need to be setting up a few things. We need to be putting up some memorials that we can carry our kids back to and say, God brought me through here. We need to have some wells out there that we can stop and get a cool drink of water from. When we're thirsty and when we're tired and when we're beat down and we can't go on anymore, that somebody else dug before we got there that we can look back on and say, this is how God brought us here. This is how God did this. And our altars, man, our altars, we need to be building altars. I hope you got an altar at home. I hope you have an altar in a prayer place you can go to every day. And kneel down and call out the names of your children. If you have any, your grandchildren, nieces, nephews, people you know that are lost. Because I'm telling you right now, we need to be setting these things up. We need to be doing these things. Because there's a place in time coming when our children, and they're going to come and they're going to ask you. Mark her down. Don't know if it's going to be tomorrow, next day, next week, next year. But they're going to come up and say, Mama, Daddy, how did you do this? How did you get through it? Something's going to happen in their life later on when they're married or out of the house. It's going to come down the pike. And they're going to come to you. The phone's going to ring. You're going to pick it up and they say, Daddy, how? Mama, how? You better have an answer. You better say God. And you better be able to tell them how. A place in time when the children come and ask. Thank you, Pastor. That's all I have.